This is an iHeart podcast.
Why do they attack history? Why do they attack children? We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about Iran. Lee Smith is here. Congressman Jim Banks joins us. All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about why you see the communists do some of the things the communist does. We haven't had this talk in a while on the show, but it's important we understand the motivations behind these people. Otherwise, here's what happens. There's so much news. There's a new scandal every day, a new headline every day. If we don't take a step back and take a 30,000-foot view and understand the why are we seeing what we're seeing? Now, here's what happens. We just run back and forth like a dog chasing a squirrel. Why? There's a clip going around of a Thomas Jefferson statue being removed from New York City. Everyone's mad about it. I'm mad about it. You're mad about it. Everyone's mad about it. Now, keep in mind, this clip's like 3 years old. It's from 2021. But New York City's removing a statue of Thomas Jefferson. Okay? Let's start zooming out till we get to that 30,000-foot view. Why is the communists removing a Thomas Jefferson statue from New York City? Well, the communist is removing a Thomas Jefferson statue from New York City because after St. George Floyd died, he saw an opportunity. An opportunity to do what? To destroy your history. Now, we've covered this before on the show. We will cover it many times again. I covered it in the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com. I covered it extensively. I'm kidding, but I did. I covered it extensively. The communist has done something in every country he's ever conquered. Every country. In the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was obviously Russia before that. Had this long, amazing history. Obviously, a lot of dark, a lot of amazing. They had czars and wars, the Mongols, the Golden Horde. It was crazy history in Russia. The Bolsheviks win. The Bolsheviks take over. All of a sudden, old buildings are being torn down. Statues being torn down. Streets being renamed. It used to be Tsar Nicholas II Avenue. Now it's Vladimir Lenin Boulevard. China, Mao takes over. Kicks off a cultural revolution. Now, I'm loath to compliment China because of how much I hate the Chi-Coms today, but any history fan would know that China has insane amounts of history. Virtually any period of time throughout history, you go to China, crazy cool stuff there. Amazing advanced technologies and philosophers, Confucius and statues and crazy history in China. Mao has a cultural revolution. They were burning old documents. Speaking of Confucius, 2,000 years old, they went and found his graves. There was a huge monument to him, and they tore it all up, destroyed it all. It's gone now, destroying everything. Now, why? Why? Because your history, you as an individual, you as a citizen of a nation, your history, it's not a story you read about in the past. It's part of your DNA. It's woven into the makeup of who you are. What's a good way I can describe this? You have an upbringing of some kind. Maybe you had a two-parent home. Maybe things got bad. Maybe it was a broken home. Maybe you were a foster kid, whatever it is. But your upbringing, whether it's parents, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's a mix of both, which that's probably everybody. If you look at yourself today, you can easily, everyone of any age, they can look back on their past and see how it has woven into who they are today. The same thing works as a nation. A nation talks about its history, it's good, it's bad, it's anything. A nation puts up monuments, statues, buildings, honoring its history because it's important for people today to remember who we are, remember our founding. That way we can remember what we're supposed to be. The communist knows this. And so the communist destroys it. That's why he burns it down. Pol Pot did it differently when he took over Cambodia. He famously declared it was year zero, that nothing that came before mattered. It was all gone. Now it was only a future. So back to what we were talking about. Thomas Jefferson's statue in New York, it gets removed. Why did it end up getting removed? Because after St. George Floyd died, the American communists, there are many, they saw an opportunity. They didn't care about some dead drug dealer in Minneapolis. They saw an opportunity. They saw weakness from the right, and they knew they had an opportunity. So how did they begin? You remember how it began? Robert E. Lee, the Confederate statues, of course. Now, why did they begin there? Is it because the American communist sits around and frets about the Civil War? Oh, my gosh, the Civil War. Is it because they actually have some kind of emotion about the Confederacy? Do you think a single American communist today has an emotional response when they're talking about the Confederacy? They don't. They don't care. Was it about race? No, it wasn't. The reason they went after the Confederate statues first is they knew the American right was so feminized and neutered that they wouldn't defend them. And they knew once they began with the Confederate statues, they could then just snowball it and start wrecking everything. And of course they did. It was started out with Robert E. Lee. Quickly, it was Christopher Columbus, Thomas Jefferson, you name it. That's why communists tear down statues, tear down paintings, rewrite history books. It's why in Stamford, Connecticut today, the Board of Education, actually I think this was yesterday, just voted to remove Columbus Day entirely and Veterans Day. Oh, how could they do that? Why would they do that? Because if you're an American child, you're being raised, you're being taught, you have to learn about your culture, you have to learn about your history. If you're learning about Columbus, the discovery of your country, if you're learning about Veterans Day, the warriors who fight for this nation, that might end up becoming part of your DNA. You might look on your country and like it. The communists, the American communists, can't have that. He hates this country. He wants to burn it down. He understands you don't want him to burn it down. So what he needs, he needs to weaken your resolve. He needs to weaken your resolve to the point that maybe even you'll help him burn it down. That's why these people even went after professional sports.
Columbus. I mean, he initiated a new world genocide. That's what he did. He took slaves. He mutilated. He murdered. And we're going to... They're going to say slash and honor him.
Oh, Jesse, I just want to watch sports. Why won't they let me watch sports? The communist doesn't see worlds that he wants to avoid conquering. He knows you just want to watch sports. That's why he wormed his way into losers like that, so he can get them sharing his message, destroying your DNA, bad-mouthing your history, Speaking of Boston, it's why they have BLM at School Week. You know this? This is courtesy of Libs at TikTok. Part of the curriculum for elementary kids says that having security in schools causes stress and harm to students. It also says disciplining students is wrong, and instead schools should implement restorative justice. That's why they're after your history, and that's why they're after your kids. They really genuinely want to shatter your children. They do. And they have a purpose for that. There's a reason they want your child to end up like this turbo freak.
I think that I would like validation for my gender identity. Here are some pictures of me. My pronouns are it and they. My gender is none. I enjoy dressing in a more feminine, I guess, way. But I don't want to be associated with gender. I enjoy looking like a clown. I kind of view myself as a doll. I don't abide by gender. I'm built different.
Don't hate that person. Feel bad for that person. Does that person have a chance at a normal life? How mentally, emotionally shattered is that human being? And that is, of course, the point. Because a child with values, a child that loves, honors their parents, a child that knows right from wrong, a child that understands doesn't matter how much lipstick you put on, you can't become a woman, that child has a very good chance of growing up to be a good person, a family person, a person who probably honors the country, stands for the flag. But that thing right there you just saw in that video, that shattered human being will vote Democrat for all 25 years of their life. That's the truth. And that's why they are so after your children. Like wolves circling the flock, they are after your children. And unless you and I've got kids too, unless we are diligent, they will take them from us. Did you see this absolutely heartbreaking video of a high school girl whose English teachers broke her from her parents?
I was inspired to come and speak today by my English teachers. In my high school years, I have come to know most of the teachers in the department and found that they are a brilliant and kind group of people who truly do act in the interest of every student. I'm here to make a point about the dangerous consequences of book banning in public education. I love both of my parents dearly, but tonight I would like to focus on my father and the concomitantly detrimental effect he has had on my life. He is a conservative, a Republican, and a Christian. For as long as I can remember, he has instilled his political and religious values in me. As a child who unquestioningly admired her father, I took him at his word, and his one-sided bigoted beliefs became ingrained in my identity. I have since needed to reconsider where I stand. When the Democrats, who had previously been demonized, held in unjustifiable condemnation and immediately dismissed, actually aligned with my own morals and reasoning more than Republicans, I found myself at a crossroads. I could either continue in my father's doctrine that required me to follow blindly and ignore irrefutable truths and the principles of democracy, or to pursue my own knowledge and form my own opinions. This I could not do without the support of my teachers. They have encouraged me to conduct my own research about the politicians from both parties who have the power to dictate my life.
Couldn't do this without the help of my teachers. You think you're sending Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to school to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, but Aiden, Jaden, and Braden's teachers, they have a different curriculum in mind. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. That's why the communist does what he does. We'll talk to Sarah Gonzalez about this, some culture war stuff next. Before we get to that, let's do this real quick. Let's talk about the timeshare you think you're stuck in. It's a very common tale. Don't feel stupid. I should note this. Don't feel stupid. When people get a timeshare and then they want out, and the timeshare company, they all do this. They tell you, well, sorry, you can't get out. Pay your annual fees. Sorry, they doubled. People end up feeling foolish. They feel like they got scammed. Oh, am I an idiot? You're not an idiot. That's how they do business. But you're also not stuck in that timeshare. Lone Star Transfer will legally and permanently get you out. I love this company, not just because they guarantee it in writing, because they're a family company. I guess maybe as I get older, I'm focusing more and more on family companies, trying to patronize family companies. These are wonderful people, and they will legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. All you have to do is call. Your one phone call from freedom. 844-310-2646. Be done with the annual fees. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'd like to point out on the parental right to information, I don't think parents should be notified simply because society assumes that every child has a well-meaning family culture that is accepting of this. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is involve a parent in some of these issues based on their own beliefs and their own culture. My point would be that we never notify a parent on these issues unless the child's life is in danger. I don't think we should notify parents on many issues that we notify parents on.
Look, you call me crazy all you want, they say it. They're caught on camera saying these things. They want your children. They're not passive about it. It's not like they'll take them if your child happens to crawl in the car with them. They are after your children. Joining me now, host of the brand new Unfiltered on the Blaze, my friend Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah, I'm not sure the average American still understands how purposeful these people are when it comes to our children. It's not a whoopsie. It's not like a side issue. It's everything for them.
To unfortunately take it happening to all of these average Americans who are not believing this. It's going to take this happening to them for them to understand that these people are communists and they, of course, are after your children. Karl Marx instructed them to go after the children because he knew that that was the way to indoctrinating the entirety of the country. You have to go after the youth. He knew that. And that's why they have infiltrated themselves into our education systems. And that's why that they are now saying things like, you know, we heard Joe Biden and Joe Biden's administration previously say they're our children. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, they're our children. Well, no, they're not, Karine. No, they're not, Joe. No, they're not, school board. They're actually my child. And it's amazing to me that this woman on the school board would say something like, unless it's a life or death situation. Not notifying parents about things like gender transitions at schools will turn into a life or death situation because you are pushing these people into being more prone to suicide, depression, and things of that nature. They are creating the life or death situation. It's amazing.
Sarah, do you think most parents are aware and don't care? Or do you think most parents, they're really just unaware. They don't watch these videos. They don't follow things online. They don't know that they're sending Aiden, Jaden, and Braden into the lion's den.
I think that the majority of people are unaware that it's happening to this extent because I think for the most part, many Americans want to live with their head in the sand like an ostrich. This just thinking of surely that wouldn't happen. I mean, I've seen those videos on Twitter, but surely that's not happening in my school district where my kids go to school. But I also think that there is a certain amount of Americans who do know that it's happening at their schools, but they feel like they don't have any other option. They don't feel empowered to pull their kids out of school, to homeschool them, to find another option. And I think it really is unfortunate that there are parents who feel that way in this country because unfortunately their child is going to be the one to suffer because of this naivety or of course this just brush off and think, well, I just don't have another option. They absolutely do and they should insist upon the other option.
Sarah, let's shift gears here because the whole DEI thing is very clearly not going away. Here's the CEO of Mark Cuban's Dallas Mavericks on camera talking about how she fired a bunch of white people and men.
Because I know the business case for diversity, and you have to have a diverse group of people around the table if you really want to be as successful as you can be. And so we took that on. So we laid out that vision, laid out a set of values, and then I had one-on-one with all the employees and then made some leadership changes. And wow. So now we have almost 50% women in leadership and 47% people of color. And so wow. diversity matters. It matters.
So your goal was to set the NBA standard for leadership, for diversity and inclusion. And are you now the most diverse and inclusive leadership team in for an NBA organization?
I know we're somewhere at the top. We actually ended up getting the NBA's Diversity and Inclusion Award in January.
Wow.
For all of the work that we have done.
Sarah, so she fired people because they were white or because they were men? Do I have that right?
I remember a time, Jesse, when that was considered illegal and you could sue the pants off of an employer for doing that. I mean, let's be honest. You and I both know that hiring women in positions of power at a basketball team would do nothing but destroy the basketball team. You do not want women in high places in sports. But I mean, it's just incredible that she wants to talk about diversity as our strength. We know we can't survive. Our company is more vibrant, is thriving with diversity. I'm sorry, when did color or gender become a qualification for a particular job? When did merit become meaningless? I'm fairly certain that the Dallas Mavericks, in the name of diversity and inclusion, would not hire me, a 5'4 Latina, to play on the team. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because they know that it's stupid and it doesn't work. So why they're doing this within the organization at high levels of positions of power, I don't know. And unfortunately, Jesse, I think that it's going to take, when you're talking about the issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I like to refer to as DIE, D-I-E instead of DEI, I think it's going to take United flights crashing. I mean, I think it's going to take measures of epic proportion for these people to step back and say, oh, wait a second, maybe we should go back to that thing where we hired people based off of their expertise and their experience and their merit rather than the color of their skin. Maybe we had something way back then.
Sarah, I'm sure you've seen this horrific story out of Montana, which I'll be honest with you, Montana's a red state. They've really straightened up. And when the story first came out, I thought to myself, I'm not sure if that's true. I'm not going to cover that. And it looks like it's true. It looks like a married couple in Montana just had the state confiscate their child. What?
Yeah, I am actually speaking. I believe I'm speaking to the mother in this situation tomorrow on my show to get into that, because I, like you, thought to myself, surely not in Montana. But unfortunately, Montana is susceptible, just like any other state that we're seeing, to all of this gender nonsense. I mean, you expect it in places like California, where they just outright say, yeah, we're going to take your kids away from you if you don't accept that they call themselves, demigod. And unfortunately, again, going back to communism, I know this is a subject that you know very well, but they target these places intentionally. They target Montana intentionally. They target tiny little suburbs that you would think to be red that I've gone to here in Texas and expose these drag shows with these grown men dressed provocatively, dancing provocatively, and sexually explicit songs playing in the background in front of these children. They are doing this intentionally in these red areas. So I would say to parents and just to people all over the country, if you think that you are in a red area, you're safe. You are not. You have to be vigilant about things like this. You have to be vigilant about the lawmakers that you are putting into place, into these positions of power, because they are everywhere and they will take your children and they will sleep like a baby at night.
Yeah, they will. Her new show is Unfiltered on The Blaze. Sarah, I appreciate you very much. All right. Congressman Jim Banks is going to join us, one of the few good ones. Hopefully he's going to be a senator. And it's time to talk about the border situation, because it's bad. Things are escalating. Where is this going to go? We'll talk to him in a moment. Before we talk to him, let's deal with this. Remember, the people who are doing all these things, the same people who are doing the culture war stuff, the same people who are opening up the border, these are the people who run our monetary system. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, came out and just admitted yesterday or the day before that, no, we're not going to get prices back down. In fact, it's not even our mission to get prices back down. They're no longer even pretending we're going back. It's worse from here. They're still spending. They're still printing. What do? Feels helpless, doesn't it? We all feel helpless. You're not helpless. There are things you can do to protect yourself. Get some precious metals in your hands. Not gold bars like Bob Menendez. You don't need a bank vault. You don't need to be a millionaire. You just need to call Oxford Gold Group and tell them what you need. You need gold or silver as part of your retirement account. You need physical gold or silver coins, doesn't matter which, in your possession. Get wealth they can't touch. It's the only wealth they can't touch. Call them, 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call, they'll take care of you, all right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Have you done everything you can do with executive authority? Or is there more you could do?
I've done all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office. Give me the border patrol. Give me the people. Give me the people, the judges. Give me the people who can stop this and make it work right.
Give me the border patrol? What does that even mean? Give me the power? You know what? I can't wait to ask the congressman about it. Joining me now, one of the few good ones we have there, Congressman Jim Banks out of Indiana, hopefully, fingers crossed, going to be senator here before too long. Okay, Congressman, for those of us who don't quite understand civics, which sadly is many of us, does the president not have the power to secure the border?
Yeah, what a total bold-faced liar Joe Biden is. Keep in mind that the border is wide open because Joe Biden, on his first day in office, signed 62 executive orders counted by our friend Stephen Miller, who listed all of them on X earlier today, including stopping construction of the border wall. He ended the effective remain in Mexico policy, the very effective Trump policy. He reenacted catch and release, and he did dozens of other things by executive order, which means he did it himself. The border is wide open because Joe Biden made it that way. He's got the power to close the border, just like he abused his power to open the border wide open. And I can't believe anybody would fall for those bold-faced lies, but that's exactly what the mainstream media is doing today. They're acting like what Joe Biden has to say is the gospel and the truth.
Jim, something that concerns me a great deal is the basic structure we have right now in American politics. What does it say about us as a country that as soon as Democrats take over, because this modern party is just a bunch of dirty commies, they have the ability to open up the border? If they want to open up the border, and as soon as they take power, they open up the border, and we can't stop them, where does that leave us?
Yeah, the only thing we have left is the very slim House majority. And thankfully, Speaker Mike Johnson has said that this really bad, flawed deal coming out of the Senate is dead on arrival in the House. The House passed H.R. 2 last year, which is a very tough bill to secure the border that does all the things I just talked about. It builds the wall, it ends catch and release, and it goes back to Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. That's the only bill that House Republicans are going to go for. Speaker Johnson has effectively killed the really bad Senate bill that would give that would give Biden more power to destroy this country even more with open borders if we pass that very bad deal that the senators have negotiated. So that's all that we have left heading into the November election. We got to get Donald Trump back in office because he's the one that knows better than anyone how to effectively secure our border. That's why I back him 100% and can't wait for him to be back in the Oval Office. He understands it. He understands that by executive order, he can go back to the policies that we know that work for this country and end the disastrous Biden border policies that are literally ruining our great country every single day with well over a million illegals who have come into this country on his watch.
Is Mayorkas going to get impeached? I understand, as you mentioned, it's a slim majority, Congressman, but the man took over DHS and promptly opened up the border. Surely that's impeachable.
He deserves to be impeached. Mark Green, the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, is marking up the impeachment articles as we speak, and hopefully they will come to the floor for a vote very soon. Here's what I worry about, the same thing that you worry about, Jesse, and that squishy go-along-to-get-along Republicans who won't do the right thing and vote to impeach him. And right now we have a two-seat majority margin in the House. So when you have some of these members, I mean, you know who they are, saying that they're not sure if they're going to vote to impeach him or not. That concerns me. But I think at the end of the day, it's important to put this up for a vote. Make sure that the voters in these squishy Republican members' districts know that how their member would vote to impeach a cabinet secretary who very much deserves to be impeached. On the other hand, Jesse, I think it's important to note that at the end of the day, the buck stops with Joe Biden. He's the president. He deserves to be impeached more than Secretary Mayorkas does because of the border alone, let alone all of the corruption issues with the Biden family cartel, Hunter Biden selling access to his dad, the president, to our foreign adversaries. There are lots of reasons to impeach him, but impeach Joe Biden alone because of these open border policies that are destroying our country. He deserves to be impeached even more than Secretary Mayorkas does.
Congressman, I hope the next time we talk, unless you're on before that, I hope it's Senator Jim Banks. Go support Jim Banks for Senator. Lord knows we need some decent ones in that house. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, sir. All right. Iran. What's happening there? It might get bad. It might not. Let's talk about that next.
I would argue that we have not seen a situation as dangerous as the one we're facing now across the region since at least 1973.
That sounds bad. But what was 1973? I don't know. I don't own any history books. Maybe Lee can tell us about that before we get into everything else. Joining me now, the great Lee Smith, Tablet Magazine. Read all his books. He's just the friggin' best. Okay, Lee. For those of us who were educated in America's public education system, what happened in 1973? I don't get it.
Right. Well, 1973, that's when the Mets lost to the A's in the World Series. Heartbreaking for those of us growing up in New York at the time. It was also that same October is when Arab armies invaded Israel for the Yom Kippur War. So that's what Secretary Blinken is referring to, the 1973 October War. And I differ vastly with his assessment about the levels of danger in the region right now.
Okay, explain that, because he's using a lot of dire words out there. That's the end of the world. Why do you disagree? You think everything's fine?
No, I think that the Biden administration is responsible for the tension in the region right now, in particular because of the Biden administration's dealings with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's remember, among other things, the billions of dollars that the administration has made available to Iran. And this has fueled Iran's energies across the region, whether we're talking about the Houthis in the Red Sea, whether we're talking about Hamas in the Palestinian territories, whether we're talking about Hezbollah in Lebanon, or whether we're talking about Iraqi militias backed by Iran, like Kataib Hezbollah, which is apparently responsible for the murder of three American servicemen in Jordan over the weekend. That's on the Biden administration, okay. Every single bit of it.
Okay, it is. What can we do about it? And here's what I ask, Lee. Here's why I asked the question that way. The Biden administration and the Obama administration before him, even though it's the same administration, they've done everything humanly possible to cozy up to Iran. It's bizarre how much they love Iran. Iran, while they've been doing this, are very open about how much they hate us, how much they attack us. Now they've killed three U.S. troops.
Right.
Are all negotiations off the table? What can you do to Iran without sparking something bigger? What can we even do?
I mean, I think the first most obvious thing is stop making money available to the Iranians. Forget about the Iran nuclear deal, which, of course, since this was Barack Obama's deal and Donald Trump withdrew from it, this was a Biden administration priority. So forget about the nuclear deal. Take that off the table immediately. Stop paying the Iranians. And also, here's something else. I think it would be wise to get U.S. troops out of Iraq and Syria immediately, since the purpose that those American troops are serving, shockingly, shamefully, for this administration, is that they're protecting Iran. That's why they're there. That's what those counterterrorism missions are about, to fight people who threaten the Iranian order of the Middle East.
Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, has also been very vague with his threats about anyone, quote, taking advantage of this. Here he was.
From the outset, we've been very clear in warning that anyone looking to take advantage of conflict in the Middle East and try to expand it, don't do it. We've taken steps to defend ourselves and to defend our partners, as well as to prevent escalation. And the President's been crystal clear. We will respond decisively to any aggression. And we will hold responsible the people who attacked our troops. We'll do so at a time and a place of our choosing.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Okay, Lee, who's he sending that bat signal up to? Who would want to escalate things in the Middle East, and why, beyond Iran?
Well, the message, he's sending that message to Americans. He's not sending it to anyone in the Middle East, because no one in the Middle East takes language like that seriously at all. More important than the language is the fact how many times Iranian-backed groups have hit American forces. I believe the number is something like 160, and this is only over the course of a couple of months. So no one in the region is taking language like that seriously at all, right? It's meant to tell American voters and the American electorate that Joe Biden is a strong stand-up guy, and don't worry about anything because Joe's got it all under control. That's the only people who could take that seriously.
Okay, Lee. Does China and or Russia have any involvement that we think or know in all this? I ask because it seems like it was only 15 minutes ago. China, Russia, Iran, they were out there doing military drills together. These countries swap technology back and forth. I know for a fact Russia is using Iranian drones in Ukraine, and now we think it was an Iranian drone that was attacking our troops. Are these countries connected?
I should say, by the way, about those drones, I don't think it's been reported yet, so I'm not certain. But I think it's very important to remember that Barack Obama left an American drone in Afghanistan. I believe the year was 2014. The Iranians got that drone and started building drones modeled after American drones. Barack Obama left that drone out for the Iranians to get. So that's something very important to keep in mind, especially as we talk about the possibilities of conflict between the U.S. and Iran. Remember what's gone on here, that Donald Trump broke from what Obama was doing, right? But Joe Biden has returned to Obama-era, not just appeasement of Iran. The administration wants friendship, wants an alliance with the Islamic Republic. That's what's really important to understand here. And I think people really need to see that so we can read this situation clearly going in.
Lee, you did some reporting a while back. It seems like it's pretty important right now about an Iranian spy ring within our own government. Could you refresh our memory? That was like 10,000 scandals ago.
Yeah, right. Well, it's something else to keep in mind. Jesse, you know, I'm sure like you, we've both seen a lot of stuff, a lot of people talking, some people on the left, some people on the right talking about war with Iran, and Biden's crazy, he's going to lead us into war with Iran. Let's remember the nature of this administration, right? This administration, there is an Iranian asset who's working at the Pentagon. She's been named. Republican senators have brought this up to the Pentagon. And they said, no, Ariana Tabatabai is fine. She's staying exactly where she is. And I should say, her role, she is chief of staff to the Assistant Secretary for Special Operations at the Pentagon, among other things that deals with hostage rescue, as well as other special operations that come out of the Pentagon. So again, let's keep this in mind, what this administration is like. Ariana Tabatabai was working as part of an Iranian influence operation, answering to high-level Iranian officials, right? This was less than a decade ago. And now she's working out of the Pentagon. And it's not like they're hiding it. It's out in the open, and the Pentagon has done nothing about it. The administration has done nothing about it. So again, it's important to keep this in focus when we talk about what's happening.
Lee, the American government, the Pentagon you just pointed out, the Biden administration, how compromised, not just by Iran, but by other nations, China, I know you and I have talked about this many times before, how compromised do we think these people are? I woke up this morning. I know it was a nerdy thing to think about first thing in the morning. I'm shaking the sleep out of my eyes. And I was thinking to myself about China flying a spy balloon over the entirety of the United States of America. We now know it did figure eights over our military bases. And the American president just really kind of without explanation let it cross the entire nation before shooting it down over the Atlantic Ocean. How compromised are we?
Well, that, I mean, the way that I saw that, that was the message, right? That was China's message. It's like your people are compromised. Your leadership is in our pocket. They can't, not only they won't do anything about it. And that's the same with the Islamic Republic of Iran. You asked before, Jesse, do we know if the Chinese or the Russians have any role in this? What we do know for sure is that China is at the head of a rising anti-American bloc. But here's the really shocking thing, is that as you said, our elites, especially on the Dem side, but there are certainly some Republican officials as well, who are compromised by China and by the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is what's really important to keep in mind. And when we as Americans say that our fundamental problem here is with our own leadership, the people who are ruling us right now, that's absolutely true. But we have to keep in mind that they're also partnered with genuine American adversaries abroad. That includes China and includes the Islamic Republic of Iran as well. That's what we're up against right now. Not that Biden is threatening to take us to war, but that what the Biden administration wants to do is unleash the Iranians and give them a nuclear weapon.
Lee, I love Nancy Pelosi. Here she was scolding somebody. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
Most of your constituents block the side. Stop the genocide. Stop the Holocaust.
Lee, I know she's an evil, corrupt communist witch, but daggone, I love how she treats the media. Where are the Republicans who talk like that?
Yeah, I know it's rare. Well, I mean, also, she's surprised that the media would come after her like that. So probably she's probably regretting the fact that she didn't keep her cool a little bit better. But again, she would be surprised that anyone would go after her.
Lee, you are the best, my man. I appreciate you. All right. We have Light the Move next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's just you and me talking here. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I hurt my back the other day. And look, I'm not some Greek god, but I exercise. I try to take care of myself. I'm 42, but try to take care of myself. You know how I hurt my back the other day? I'm not making this up. I was driving, all right? So I'm driving, And there were some landscapers doing some landscaping work along the street that I was driving down. And I looked to the right. That's all I did. I did this. I looked to the right. Boom. Back hurt. Whole day. Just popping ibuprofen's a nightmare. And then I come home that night and a friend sends me a video of this.
3, 2, 1, go. Let's go. Let's go. Move quick. Move quick. There it is. Let's flow right into it. Let's go. Be confident. Be confident. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's be confident. Finish it. Finish it. Yes, sir. Come on. Come on. You're there. Come on. Last part. Let's finish it up. Nice. Come on. Let's get to that rope. Beautiful. Pull through and go. Come on. Let's go. Oh, he got fancy. He got fancy.
I hurt my back driving. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.